Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for these moments to open your word, open our hearts to you. We are in your presence, but being in your presence does not make us right. You being present in us, that's what makes us right. Big difference. We don't want to be religious. We want to be right. So deal with each and every one of us. Start with me. Go through the pews. People downstairs, the people who may be listening later on. Deal with our hearts. Give us what we need. You know the prescription of what we need. You know exactly what we need. We need you. So take the situations that we're dealing with individually and personally. Use them in our lives that we may trust in thee wholeheartedly. Not just with the lips, but with the heart. So allow your Holy Spirit to have his way in our hearts and our minds, not only today, not only this moment, but the moments to come. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to start with a poem that I found. Some of you may have seen this before. It's called In the Valleys I Grow. Sometimes life seems hard to bear, full of sorrow, trouble, and woe. It's then I remember that it's in the valleys I grow. If I always stayed on the mountaintop and never experienced pain, I would never appreciate God's love and would be living in vain. I have so much to learn, and my growth is very slow. Sometimes I need the mountaintop, but it's in the valleys I grow. I do not always understand why things happen as they do, but I am very sure of one thing: my Lord will see me through. My little valleys are nothing when I picture Christ on the cross. He went through the valley of death. His victory was Satan's loss. Forgive me, Lord, for complaining when I'm feeling so very low. Just give me a gentle reminder that it's in the valleys I grow. Continue to strengthen me, Lord, and use my life each day to share your love with others and help them find their way. Thank you for the valleys, Lord. For this one thing I know, the mountaintops are glorious, but it's in the valleys I grow. We read in the Bible of situations that have happened to the saints and how they trusted the Lord. We also read how the Israelites were being chased by Pharaoh and his army to go, and when the Israelites were trying to go across the Red Sea, getting ready to go across the Red Sea. That seemed like an enormous impossibility thing to happen. Awesome. How is that going to happen? How is that going to happen? Bible scholars have said that the Red Sea was 1,398 miles long. The widest point, 220.6 miles. The average depth, 1,608 feet. and 2 to 3 million people were going to go across that. Wow. Plus, not only that, the banks were wet, extremely wet. It was a rainy season, the monsoon. So how were they going to get across? How? Do we have a spiritual Red Sea in our lives? Each one of us has come to that point, or if you haven't, you will come to that point. Did the Israelites, did they panic and turn back or give up? No. They could have stood there and said, looked out, and saw that Red Sea and say, can't swim across it. Maybe I can take a shortcut. Wouldn't have worked. Maybe I'll go back and negotiate with Pharaoh. Turn back. No. Maybe I can hide in the caves of the mountains and wait till everything smooths over. See what happens. And the commotion dies down. Maybe I can get across then. If they would have waited for that, it wouldn't have happened. It wouldn't have happened. Red Sea closed up. When God says it's time to do something, do it. All the other things were excuses of not believing. Turn to Hebrews 11. In verse 29, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. The Egyptians tried to go across, they drowned. The Israelites went across, it was dry land all the way through. They walked through the Red Sea. 2-3 million people, dry land. Walls of water on both sides. God did that. Basically, God talked to Moses. Moses believed God. He stretched out his hand over the Red Sea like God told him to do. God said, Moses, I got this. I got it. When the Lord asks you to do something, do you believe him? Say, Lord, you have this. God says to you personally, I've got this. All we have to do is believe. Many, many other examples in the Bible of faith. We can look at the Old Testament saints and we can say, oh, well, they were special people. They were extraordinary people. That's how it worked for them. That's just an excuse. God took an ordinary person like you, like me, and he does extraordinary things, wondrous things, if we believe. But if we don't believe, that doesn't make God less of who he is. We are the losers. We lose completely, wholeheartedly. We have no excuse. Those who know the Lord personally, we have Christ in us. Christ in us, and we're in Christ. What power we have, direction. Why do we squander that? Why do we squander Why do we look back? Don't believe. What about the New Testament saints? Same thing. They had Christ in them. Don't just look for an excuse to say, well, they were people of the Old New Testament. They were special people. God says that all of us are peculiar people. We're special to him. He died for each and every single person. And if he saved you, he still considers you the apple of his eye, very precious. Do we consider him very precious? Are we believing in him? Hebrews 13, verse 8. What about us today? Verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, the same God who opened up the Red Sea, the same God who's done all the things that you've read about in the Bible, is living within you with that same power. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? Do you trust in him? Do you trust in your old nature? Today, our country is trusting in the political system. We just had presidential elections. The country's looking for one person to direct them. They're leaning wholeheartedly on one man to direct them, to guide them, to counsel them, to save them out of their distress. People are looking for the CDC guidelines. What does Dr. Fauci say today? He says this? Oh, I better listen to him. The vaccine is coming. It's a good thing. The vaccine comes, I'm going to be better. My day is going to be better. My life is going to be better. Really? You're trying to save, take care of your body, which eventually is going to die? But you want the vaccine, which is a good thing. But if you're trusting just the vaccine, where's God in this? Where is he? People looking at the coronavirus positivity rates. Yesterday it was 6.9. Day before it was 8.3. Today it's 9. Oh, they're looking at, we're going to stay away from people. I'm not going to do certain things. That's your barometer? That's what's guiding you? I mean, be careful, but don't be fearful. God is still in charge. Trust in him. Don't be stupid about going around people without wearing masks or going certain places without wearing masks or social distancing. Don't be stupid about it. But trust in the Lord. People look at the Dow Jones Index. How's the economy going? I think it was back in 1929, the Great Depression, stock market dropped drastically. People were committing suicide because their finances were in ruin. People are looking to science. What does science say? What does science say we should do? Where's God in all this? Who are you believing in? Each one of these things that you are people that you are trying to count on, going to have to give an account to God also. Sad to say, our country is not looking to the Lord. Not at all. But you know what God is saying to the church, his body? I've got this. I've got it. He's got this all in control. 100%, 120%, whatever. He's got it. It's okay, he says. I got this. Keep believing in him, and he will get us through successfully. Now, I'm not pertaining just to COVID. I'm talking about different things in your life. There are going to be other things that come down the road. COVID, it could be something else is coming up. Are we going to go up and down based on what we hear from outside? Are we going to take that roller coaster ride, go up and down? I personally don't like roller coasters. I don't like going up and down. And I shared with you before, I may go down, but I'm up. So it's down and up with me. Roller coasters go down and up, down and up, down and up, down and up, down and up. What kind of a believer are you going to be, going up and down, up and down? God says, come, believe. He didn't say the moment you were saved, well, go up and down. No, continually grow. Come to him. Lean upon him. God will take care of us if you let him. God won't work unbelief. You got to believe. Turn to Psalm 112. In verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Fearing is not being frightened. It's being respectfully awesome, awesomeness. Delight greatly in his commandments. Blessed is that person. In verse 7, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Where's your heart? Is your heart fixed? Is it locked in? If you're shooting a target, you lock in. You're locked, you just don't spray around your shots. You lock in. Lock into your target. If we don't believe God, like I said before, it doesn't make him less of who he is. This Bible here, say, I don't believe it. Doesn't make less than what God said it is. No matter what you say, God said it. The plague of our own hearts, that is more deadly than any virus, anything that comes out around. Unbelief. In our old nature. That's the plague. Really, that's the plague. That robs us more than anything. COVID can't rob you. The fears that you have can't rob you if you're trusting the Lord. God didn't give you the spirit of fear. You did that to yourself. So who are you going to blame? Yourself. Blame myself. I can't blame God. He didn't save me to give me the spirit of fear. No way. So why are we going back to that? What's going to come next? COVID-16? COVID-98? Maybe. Is that going to determine your belief or unbelief? Or your walk with the Lord? There's a constant war within me. Not the conditions of the world, the situations, but I'm a winner and I have peace with Christ in me. That's the only way. That's the only way you're going to be a winner. Turn to Romans 8. In verse 37, now in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. God didn't say we're conquerors. He didn't say we were conquerors. He said that we were more than conquerors. So there's more than just being a conqueror. Do you believe what God has said? Not intellectually, but from your heart. Fear can paralyze you. It can grab a hold of you and shut you down in a second. When I was growing up in D.C., I didn't show any fear. We had to go into certain neighborhoods. You had to know how to handle yourself. You're going to be attacked. You didn't know how to fight. But the main thing is, those individuals would look to see if I had fear. If you had fear, you couldn't go to school and be safe. You couldn't go anywhere. You couldn't go out your front door. If you start running, when are you going to stop? When are you going to stop? When's the next fear going to overtake you? I learned that. I learned that. I'm still learning. Fear can really get a hold of you. You don't even know it. But once it gets a hold of you, after a while, don't you get tired of running, going backwards? No respect. No respect. You're not respecting the Lord at all. You're dishonoring him when you're fearing. But be careful. The plague of our own heart. Are you going to let what's outside come inside and get you? The news report, CDC report, Dr. Fauci's report. The president says something. Your next door neighbor says something that you don't agree with or you're not comfortable with and strikes fear in you. Do you let it grab a hold of you? If you do, you're a loser. Point blank, you are a loser. Clean it up and get to God. The vaccine is coming out, maybe tomorrow. There are going to be people lined up for that vaccine. Are they going to take the vaccine, hold it in their hand, take it home with them, put it on the shelf, put it in the corner and say, well, I'll wait till later on, I'll put it on, I'll use it. Meanwhile, it's not in the freezing conditions that it's supposed to be in, but you're going to just do your own thing. Are the people that had the vaccine walk around and tell everybody, hey, I got the vaccine, I got it, but they haven't used it? What's the matter with that? Do you believe that the vaccine works? Then why didn't you take it? Do you believe the word of God? Are you carrying the word of God? Why don't you let the word of God carry you? There's a difference. Big difference. We can carry God's word around. We can quote verses. Could be head knowledge. once it gets in your heart and stays there, there's a big difference. The word of God comes alive. You're believing. God says, I've got this. When God gets a hold of your heart, you can't hide it. And what he does to your heart, you can't buy it. You can't hide it if you try it. Try it. God is working in your heart. Try to hide that. You can't. You're believing. God says, I've got this. It's not COVID or the direction of the country or health problems, which some have, very severe ones, or the economical problems. You fill in the blanks personally of obstacles in your own life that you're dealing with. God has placed in your life personally part of that prescription that he's given you. How are you handling it? How are you handling it personally? Are you believing or unbelieving? You have to answer that question. You really do. Sometimes you don't even have to answer. It shows. It shows. Why do we hold on to our fears and our old nature when the Lord says, I got this? Why do we do it? Turn to Joshua, chapter 1. And verses 8 and 9. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Good success. He didn't just say success, he said good success. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Do you believe that? Do you believe him? Or is it going in one ear and out the other? Did it reach your heart? Have you applied it to your life? God gives us a recipe of how to live in Christ. Do we follow the directions? Do we believe it? If you're baking a cake, and the directions are to put certain ingredients in it, you put all the ingredients on the table and just look at them. Yeah, I got them all there. But you don't mix them. You don't stir it up. Do we take God's word and mix it with faith? Then we become prosperous. Mix it with faith. We're cooking a cake, and we say, well, I want to speed it up. So I'm going to take the cake, raise the temperature in the oven 60 degrees higher. I don't bake, but I can tell you right now, I don't think that's going to come out too well. Sometimes we want to rush things. We don't want to wait on the Lord. We believe that we can handle it our own way and our own speed. God knows what he's doing. He says he's got this. Why can't we relax? Rest in him. 2 Timothy 1. In verse 7,
God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Like I said before, like God has said, he didn't give us the spirit of fear. We do that. It's contrary to what God has given us. In a sound mind, he's given us a sound mind. Do we seek the mind of God in our lives? Do we apply what God has told us to do? We may not understand everything that God says, but work with what you do understand. Do what God tells you to do. Let God take care of the rest. Work with what you have. Let God put it all together like he always does. We have an old nature, and it's powerful. Don't let it fool you. Very powerful. But if you know the Lord, you can make a choice. You can follow the old nature or believe in Christ in you. If you're doing your own thing, not believing, how's that working out? How's it working out for you? I can tell you right now, it's not working out. It won't work out. So why? Why even do it? When I was a young kid growing up, I got into a lot of trouble.
No.
Yeah, I did. And I used to get whippings. I mean, they were serious whippings. I deserved them. I got more whippings than anybody in my house. I think I got more whippings than anybody in my neighborhood. I don't know, but I know I was in trouble. I didn't care. I didn't care. My parents used to whip me. And I said to myself, I'm going to show them. I'm in control of this. So they would whip me, and I would not show any emotions. I would not cry. They would whip me harder and harder out of frustration, and I still would not. That same old nature I have right now. I still have that old nature. I still have it. But I choose to serve the Lord. I frustrated my parents. I frustrated my teachers. I frustrated a lot. After I was saved, I apologized to my parents. I shared it with you before. I apologized to them. And I said, I know I was bad. And they said, we know. We know. All of my relatives knew also. I was the only one in my family that saved. And no one, you would never think that that was possible. You would never, if you'd have known me back then. I had a teacher told me that I'd never amount to anything. I was so bad. That motivated me to try to humanly do something to correct myself, but I was still not saved. Not until I did business with the Lord Jesus Christ. He broke me. He broke me. Oh, he did a wonderful work in me. He broke me. Convicted me that I was a sinner. I didn't see it till he showed me from his word. And the circumstances that he used in my life to bring me to the point. He died for my sins. He was buried. And he rose again And he's coming back for me too. Wow. I thank him. I owe him. I owe him. I really do. You wouldn't have known me back then. You wouldn't even want to be around me. I didn't want to be around myself. Thank you for the cross of Calvary. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for saving one like me. But there's still room for more at the cross. There's still room for more. My relatives, after I was saved, they're still in D.C. Well, my mom and dad had passed on. Before they passed on, I shared with them. They liked the change in me, but they were afraid of me. They could not believe the changes that were going on in my life. They could not believe it. And still I have relatives back in D.C. now. They look at me and they can't figure me out. Is this isn't the same person? No, Christ's in me. I'm different now. I'm his. In the choir of life, in the choir of life, you can fake the words. But one day, someday, you're going to be in his presence and you're going to have to sing solo. What are you going to say? Have you done business with the Lord? Not everybody who carries a Bible, comes to church, is saved. Not everyone who says they're in the presence of God is saved. The key is God present in your life? Have you received him? If the demons, the system, your old nature can't win, how do you expect to win apart from Christ? You can't. You can't. Two men were talking to each other one day. One guy was 100 years old. The other guy was younger than him. And he asked the older guy, "How did you get to be 100 years old? What's your secret?" And the guy said, 100-year-old guy said, "Breathe in, breathe out." We as believers should be believing moment by moment. That's the key. Since you did business at Calvary's cross, moment by moment, believing. A boxing champ years ago was practicing, training for a championship bout. The contender was training also, but he was changing his boxing style to kind of like confuse the champion. Reporter came to the champion and asked him, "Aren't you concerned that this guy is changing his style?" Champion looked at him and said, "No, not really." He said, "Why aren't you concerned?" He says, "Once I hit him good hard, he's going to go back to what he knows." So I'm going to ask you, when your obstacle in your life comes before you and it hits you, are you going to go back to your old nature where you feel comfortable? It shows. Are you trusting in the Lord? There's your strength. He is your strength. We have a tendency, that old nature is ready to do its thing. Satan is counting on us to back off. He knows our weaknesses, but our strength is in Christ, believing in him. letting him be the great I am moment by moment. If I don't let God conquer my heart, I won't conquer anything. Nothing at all. There's an expiration date on food, medicine, vehicles, appliances, even your own personal life. There's an expiration date. Is there an expiration date on your salvation? No. Nope. That's eternal. God's eternal. He's in us. Is there an expiration date on what God is going to do in us? God says, I've got this. Ephesians 3. In verse 20. Now unto him that is able, God is able, he's able, he's able, he's able. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, 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 abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Think of right now what God can do in your life. You're wrong. You can't even think of what he can do. He's already told you. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. That blows my mind. I think of how things were going to be, are going to be. I'm wrong. It's going to be better than that. And I'll find out. Do you believe that? Do you actually believe that? Or are you focused on what's going on right now in your life? The news reports, the conditions at your job, your home, or whatever you're going through, your spiritual Red Sea. Are you letting that control you? Is that all you're looking forward to handling the situations right in front of you? That's what you're focused on. Are you looking for the Lord's coming and what he's going to do in your heart? Do you want to be fat in your heart? That's where your success is. You could be laid up in the bed, all kinds of conditions, and I talked to some people who have been like that. But their heart is fat. They are full of the Spirit of God, waiting, wanting him to do that work, resting in him. That is priceless. You can't buy that. You can't buy that. Believing has three aspects. Are you fully persuaded? Fully surrendered? Fully assured? That began at Calvary's cross. That continues through your walk with the Lord. God's word should be transforming you, not informing you. We're not going to take an academic session. God wants to move in your heart. Before I got up here, I asked the Lord to deal in my heart. If he's not dealing in my heart, he surely won't be able to do it. We could do it in his way, but he's got to work in my heart too. I want him to. Do you want him to work in your heart? That's a personal decision. Why are you down when God has lifted you up? If you've trusted him for eternal life, what does that mean? That means, does it mean to you that you were saved the moment you did business at Calvary's cross, and then you're waiting for the Lord to come back? Nothing else happens in between. No, God is saving you. You've already been saved for eternity. Don't you think he could take care of you the next 5 minutes? That there's a gap in that eternal life and that security, that assurance? Is there a gap in what God can do? No, not at all. God's got this. He's got this. He really does. So why are we down? Why are we cast down? Why do we mope around? Why do we rely on the news media or the conditions at work or home or whatever? You fill in the blanks on that. Why do we let that happen to us when God said, I've got this? Moment by moment, he has it. Moment by moment. When you don't believe, what are your results? Personally, I can tell you, but I don't have time to tell you. You know personally what God, when you don't believe, what happens. God's got a plan for each and every one of us. Don't look at your situation and think that, it's incredible. This is impossible. Yeah, it is. If you're not believing, it's impossible, sure. But you have a choice if you know the Lord to believe. To believe. So who are you going to look to blame? You don't know? Go look in the mirror. There's your answer right there. Don't blame me. Don't blame the person next to you. Don't blame your spouse. Don't blame the doctors. Don't blame the newscast. Don't blame anybody else but yourself. You chose not to believe. That's a personal decision. When you came to know the Lord, that was a personal decision. Did you ask the media? Did you ask your spouse? Well, you go first. Or mom, dad, you go first and I'll go after. No. Didn't work that way. God wants you to come personally to do business with him. God says, I've got this. He has this. What's our problem? Psalm 84. Verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Are you walking uprightly? Are you walking uprightly? Then no good thing will he withhold from you. Why are you looking backwards? Why are you letting old nature rob you of this? Why are you letting fear rob you? Why be a loser when God said that we are more than conquerors in him? Verse 12, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Blessed, prosperous. Not talking financially, he's talking about your heart, your soul. Blessed. Believing makes the possible. Possible. Unbelieving makes the possible impossible. Very simple. God knows what he's doing, and we can rest in that fact. God's got this.